This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, Whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more five-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain.
As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today.
Welcome to the Rocket Ship Podcast. I'm Matt Goldman.
I'm Joelle Steiniger.
And I'm Michael Sacca. Today we talked to Jeff Radcliffe of PostaLaunch. What did you guys think?
It was great. We basically looked at the content strategy that they put in place for their clients from start to finish and saw all the steps that they go through and just learned a lot about the process and some things you can do with syndication to increase the reach of the articles or videos that you're putting out anyways.
Yeah, I really liked his approach to starting with video. Because it's such an easy way to get your thoughts out, so much easier than sitting down and trying to write something. And I like how that's the base of everything that they do.
Yeah, that was it's a real great technique I've never heard before. And I think everyone could use it. So let's get into it.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors. Hover makes purchasing and managing your domain simple and easy. This week, I talked to Max of Y Decision about why he uses Hover.
I was using Enum and GoDaddy for domain registrars, and I was looking for something different. I came across Hover then. What I really liked about Hover was it was easy to use. I had a clean interface. I'm a designer by heart, so I like things like that.
Go to hover.com and use the code SatisfiedCustomers to get 10% off your domain purchase today.
Hostayer.
You know what a gator is?
Hostayer.
It's like an alligator.
Do it again?
Yes.
No, oh, then.
HostGator makes web hosting easy and affordable. With packages starting at just $3.96 a month, it's the easiest way to get your next project online. Go to HostGator/promo/rocketship to get 30% off today.
You've heard me rave about CodeShip before. It's because they're an incredible team building an amazing product that makes my days happier and my code more reliable. Recently, they shipped an incredible new feature,
It's called Parallel CI, and it allows for faster testing than ever before. Early access customers like Product Hunt have improved their development speed tremendously. If you haven't yet, tell your dev team to start a free trial. They have a super generous free plan, and they also offer 20% off 3 months to all Rocketship listeners. Sign up at codeship.com/rocketship.
Tell us a bit about Postlaunch. Give us the quick pitch.
Absolutely. Postlaunch is a web presence marketing firm. What we specialize in is gaining visibility online for clients of all types, whether it be a business, whether it be a service, whether it be a brand, whether it be really anything that's out there that you want to gain more exposure online for.
So what's kind of your methodology behind that?
Absolutely. I'll kind of touch. Let me jump into that real quick. But it sort of encompasses on everything that we do. So a lot of people say, oh, you're an SEO company. And yes, search engine optimization is a part of what we do. But a lot of us don't actually utilize search engines in the way that, you know, even our parents did. We don't typically go through and search for everything anymore. A lot of us exist in a world where we need to discover what's out there through alternative methods. And the way that we combat that, or the way that we best serve our clients through that, is through proper content marketing. And so what I wanted to really talk about is kind of a rundown, a checklist of the best practices for content marketing that we do that we've seen to be incredibly effective. Now, we've worked with, our company is relatively young, but we've worked with more than 200 clients in our 2 years of business. And we've really refined this process to be incredibly effective on the things that we do that really helps bring more and more traffic to our clients' websites, their services, to their brands, their apps, whatever they've got. We can actually do a lot. The strategy is very much the same. It's simply a matter of finding the content.
Nice. So, what's kind of the initial steps here when you take on a new client? What are some of the first things that you do with them?
Absolutely. So the very first thing that we need to know, and most clients know this themselves, is everything that goes on in their business. What do you do? What do you care about? What's interesting to you as a business owner? And it doesn't matter what the type of business is. If you find it interesting, and I always live by this credo, if you find it interesting, then it's extremely likely that your clients are going to find it interesting. So when we're talking about creating content to distribute to the web, if you're creating content for the sake of creating content, just don't do it. Find something that's interesting to you. Find something you saw in the news. Find something a friend told you about. Find something you find funny or attractive or sexy or intriguing. Anything at all that you will find interesting, it's extremely likely that your clients will find interesting. At the same time, I always tell every single one of our clients that we don't need to dumb down clients, or we don't need to dumb down content. Holy moly. We exist in a world where these people who are consuming content are one click away from the most powerful research tool ever invented. So if they don't understand something, it gives the customer the opportunity to take it a step further and really learn more about what a business or an individual or brand or service is talking about. Now, I'll give you some for instances on that. We see a lot of companies out there. Somebody says, listen, you need to be active on social media. You need to be putting stuff out there. So they'll just grab whatever they need. They'll grab, you know, random pictures of someone's birthday party. They'll grab an article about acai berries, and they'll just throw it up on their social media and think that they're good enough. The reality is that type of content actually turns most customers off. So the first thing that we need to do to them is say, get them in their own thinking. What's interesting? Now, as a society, we sort of have this, and there's a great Pew Research article about this. We actually have this sort of collective disorder to be in the know, which is why social media has been so popular, again, over the last half decade and continues to grow, because everybody in our society now wants to know more than the next person. If I tell you a story, if I say, hey, did you see that sneezing panda video on YouTube? And you didn't see it, I've won. So I get a little adrenaline squirt because I've seen something that I know that you think is interesting, but I saw it first. So I get to be the one to sort of break the news. Now, keeping that in mind, what we want to do, everybody with their own company traditionally has a lot of institutional knowledge. There's some very, very informative things that, let's say, an insurance agent knows about auto insurance that the rest of the world might not even know. We know that we need it. We know maybe about coverages, but there's some really fantastic data and information, and we're all data junkies these days. So what I tell a business owner, a business manager, is think of what's important to you. And what they do is then they communicate that to us. And the most fantastic way to do it is through a video. We'll set up a camera. We'll say, talk about this one topic. Why are aluminum cans damaging the Atlantic Ocean, for example? Okay. Not that that's necessarily a topic, but I have an aluminum can sitting in front of me, so I had to glom onto something. We We get them to talk about that piece of that content. This is what's interesting to me. This is what applies to my business. We take that content, and the most important piece of the content syndication is that it's written in a way that if a human does decide to consume it, they're going to be engaged with the content. So normal conversation is one of the best ways to do this. We really, really encourage our clients to get in front of a camera and record themselves talking about a topic. What that does is it actually gives them the groundwork, the base work they need to be able to create the written content. They can actually have someone on their team or themselves actually sit there and transcribe that video. So a 60-second video could easily result in 1,000 words of typed content that's perfect to syndicate on a blog or a website or even a social post. So what we would typically do is take that video, put it on YouTube, put it on their blog, put it on Facebook, put it on Twitter, and then transcribe that content at the same time. So we have a written blog article that goes right along with the specific topic. Now we'll take that blog article once it's posted and go through and do the relevant metadata and the relevant search engine optimization for that and the images corresponding with it. But then we also go through and we syndicate it. And this is where a lot of people are missing the opportunities. If anybody's ever been on a website where it has that little plus button that's provided by Add This, there's a widget called Add This that's out there that's free to add to your website. It's the tool that allows you to have buttons on your site to be able to simply one-touch and share content through. Their list is roughly 350 different social networks and social media outlets. In that list, and I'm giving away all the secret sauce here, so anybody who's paying attention can run with this, but in that list, there are plenty of opportunities to find places for content syndication. Sites that we've heard of and we know of for years and years, things like Dig and Delicious and StumbleUpon and Reddit and Tagged and Tumblr, all still exist for content syndication. What I mean by that is somebody can take their blog article they've written about aluminum cans, or their video that they've written about they've recorded about aluminum cans that's been transcribed into a blog article, and then share it on those different sources. Now, the reach of a single blog article hitting your blog might be a dozen people, but by going through a proper syndication channel and pushing it out onto those aggregate sites, those aggregate distribution sources, has been incredibly powerful for all of our clients. The visibility increases tenfold on the actual content, on the actual content that's being written, but at the same time, it also allows for organic backlink creation. So this is where the search engine side comes into play. Backlinks are still important. You know, Google, with their last few updates, has really sort of killed the process of buying backlinks. But from an organic backlink securing model, this has been one of the most effective ways that we found. So well-written content. The internet's thirsty for content. There's so many people looking for things to talk about, looking for things to engage with, looking for things to sort of validate their own ideas, that by writing something really informative and really well put together and then syndicating it out, it gets picked up not only by bloggers, but also by traditional news sources. We're finding more and more of our clients' blog articles ending up in newspapers or ending up on television, ending up with radio announcements, because traditional media, I use traditional media in the opposite of online media, traditional media really goes to a lot of these sources to find things that's informative. So it's been really, really effective for us. And we run the same type of protocol for every single one of the clients that we service. And we see site volume go through the roof. Everybody is coming back to the site. Clients are more happy than ever. They're seeing more business. And it really is a truly effective way to do content marketing.
When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com.
Do you find that starting with recording a video is easier for people to do? Because I know the biggest hang-up is actually getting people or getting yourself to sit down and write blog posts, especially on a regular basis. Do you find that video is kind of an easier way to start dipping your toe in and getting everything in your head kind of out?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what I recommend to every single one of our clients is to practice. We can get enough content to write a dozen blog articles off of, 10 minutes of them sitting down on camera. Because we know, we might not watch an entire 10-minute video, but if somebody is covering several topics during a 10-minute video presentation, we can turn every single one of those topics into a corresponding blog article. Now, the comment was right on, because nobody has time to sit down and write blogs. As much as we think we'd like to do it, even active bloggers, the most active, you know, people who blog every single day, they're putting out stuff that's one and two sentences deep because they're just, nobody has time to do it. So, yeah, you're right on. By shooting a video, I always recommend, you know, make a list. Write down five things that you find interesting, that you found interesting. Turn on your camera, on your webcam, do it on your cell phone. For our clients, we actually show up at their office. We say, okay, we're going to be there Tuesday at 10 a.m. These are the 10 topics we want to cover. We're bringing the camera, so be prepped to talk about every single one of these. It doesn't have to be polished. It doesn't have to be overproduced. We just need the content. It really, really is an effective way to get content created without spending that much time on it.
Are you routinely creating video then in addition to the written content, or is the goal the written content to distribute?
So with us, it's a double whammy because we get the video content to distribute as well as the written content to distribute. So we don't weight one over the other because we do extremely well with video rankings. And again, what I really like about video content is it actually personifies a brand. People see that there's actual humans working within a company, which allows us to feel more connected. There's so many companies out there that don't have phone numbers, that don't have someone you can interact with. Right before this call, we were having a discussion about not having a rep at one of our vendor companies because they just don't provide that and how frustrated we were. But by showing, listen, there's real actual people working at this company, buyer psychology tells us that we're better connected to them anyway. We don't feel like we're going to, you know, have our credit card compromised, or we don't feel like we're going to be, you know, not engaging with somebody who doesn't know what they're doing. So the video content piece actually serves several purposes. It gives us the content that we need in the business owner, business manager, and our client's own voice, which is incredibly phenomenal. Plus, it lets the rest of the world see, you know, who are the people behind this brand.
So this is audio, obviously not video, but just for the sake of example, let's take this interview that we're doing now. How would you syndicate this content?
That's a fantastic question. And here's exactly how I plan to syndicate this content. When the audio file is delivered, there's things that we've talked about, which is going to be, you know, I'll probably title it something of content marketing best practices presented by, you know, Jeffrey Radcliffe from Post Launch, and then link up the audio file so people can actually listen to the audio file. At the same time, we'll do a transcription of this entire comment or this entire discussion. Now, that transcription will exist in multiple places. We'll take it and, you know, we'll put it on our blog, we'll put it on our Facebook, we'll put it on our Twitter, we'll put it on our Google+, and essentially create more trip points for people who follow us through these different channels to be able to engage with our organization to really get either more information or realize that, hey, even though they've come up with a quicker solution at content syndication, you know, my ultimate goal, the goal of Post Launch is to give business owners and business managers time back in their day to be able to run their business. So I tell everybody right up front, all we're doing is selling you time back in your world. But with us, then we'll take it and we'll push it out. And I mentioned the Add This widget. The Add This widget has, like I said, 300 plus different social media and social network sharing links built right into it. And so we'll go through the ones that are actually relevant. They don't all pertain to the type of businesses that we interact with, but we'll find, you know, a dozen or so that we think are going to be the best and push that content out through this. What I would be thrilled to do, if you guys are up for it, is maybe do a postmortem in a week or two after we do the syndication, and I can report back on how many actual interactions we had with that piece of content.
Yeah, that'd be great. We'd love to do that. Yeah.
Show you how effective it was. And it doesn't have to be, you know, we don't have to take a ton of your time, but I'd love to say, okay, listen, we did it here, we did it here, we did it here, we did it here, and the resulting traffic return was hopefully 50,000 visits.
Now, I love this idea about video, right? What do you do with clients as they move down further? You know, they're 2 or 3 months in. How do you find new content for them, or do you have any suggestions for them?
Right. So for most of our clients, we're creating daily content.
Okay.
They're getting blog articles, they're getting videos that need to be pushed out daily. So at 2 months, assuming we've got 16 workdays in a month, we've maybe got 30 pieces of content. So typically, we're going to bump into a situation. What we try to do from a search marketing perspective, and this is a little bit off of the content marketing topic, but we work to rank our clients in search engines, in social networks, under roughly 200 different search terms. Almost every single client, we can come up with 200 or so different ways that people can search for and interact with their company. A lot of times what this lends itself to is clients are seeing traffic coming in. Certainly this works a lot in the e-commerce space. They're seeing traffic coming in for things that they never thought were popular products. Historically, companies like mine are maybe focused on 3 or 5 primary focused keywords and long tail search phrases. For us, by focusing on casting a wider net, you know, up to 300 we'll typically do, we really can find a lot of new business opportunities for our clients. And the content piece is really fantastic because it allows consumers to say, hey, listen, this is all great. I love the fact that you're talking about aluminum cans, but have you also considered, you know, the impact of tin cans? And then, you know, most of our clients use this as a steering portal for how they're going to continue to grow their business. So your comment about what, you know, what happens further down the road, typically we will tend to see that we've targeted and hit most of our keyword ranking targets within a year for most of our clients. And then, you know, for a campaign with us, they'll typically switch into either a maintenance mode if they don't want to continue to grow their business, or we'll sit down. And by that time, we've identified new opportunities that are very parallel to what they're offering, so they can actually expand their business lines and continue to grow their companies.
So when you identify kind of a keyword target, what do you do to move up in the rankings for that keyword? Like, say you realize, well, they need to rank for aluminum cans and tin cans. What are the strategies that you're taking to actually get them on the search engine for tin cans?
Sure. Well, the best way to kind of answer that is to not think of a website in the traditional sense and not think that we have to send everybody right through your homepage. So for example, if I wanted to take my company post-launch, which is internet marketing, and start ranking myself under aluminum cans and tin cans, on the website itself, I'm going to be creating content specific to those topics. And I'm going to be creating well-written, keyword-dense, informative, and engaging content. And by taking that content and, again, syndicating it out through the channels that I've discussed already, we can find more and more and more backlinks that exist for this web company talking about tin cans and aluminum cans. So I can actually rank articles, not necessarily my own site, but different articles and different pages under the specific keyword. So we look at a site as a multiple entry point entity. We don't necessarily always have to send people to the homepage because we can bring people into a site from a blog article, from an image, from a video, from a widget, from really anything within the site. So there's really a lot that goes into play to make sure that a company can rank under those 200 or 300 different keywords.
So when we're looking at keyword-dense articles, do you have any kind of recommendations for that? Is it to mention it 5 times in every 500 words? Or is there any kind of like system that you guys adhere to in writing that content?
So there really isn't a way to game the search engines anymore with keyword density. However, we typically live by the rule of thumb that we try to use it about 25% more than normal prose, normal conversation.
Okay.
So, you know, if I'm specifically talking about aluminum cans, where I might say something like post-launch is now your leader in aluminum cans, the written content would say something like, aluminum cans are incredibly popular these days. If you're looking for an aluminum can resource, be sure you contact post-launch or aluminum can expertise in Las Vegas.
Mm, okay.
So, you know, it says the same thing, but it's just a little bit more dense than we normally would when we're talking in normal conversation. Because, again, you can't really try to trick the search engines, but at the same time, you have to make sure the search engines know that you're serious about aluminum cans.
Well, and people have to actually read it too. I mean, if it's just kind of a bunch of gibberish with keywords jammed in there, then your well-written content's out the window.
Exactly. Now, sort of the crux of the, you know, the catch-22 of that, or the unfortunate thing about that, is about 85% of the content that gets written is never consumed by humans, which is unfortunate because we spend a lot of time and money creating really compelling, great content that exists in eternity on the web, but we found that a lot of stuff doesn't get consumed. People read a headline, maybe read a first sentence, and then decide at that point whether or not they're going to do business with someone. So with that in mind, well, with our team anyway, we actually, everybody adheres to the AP style. We all use inverse pyramid style of writing. Most of the people on our team are marketing people or journalism people who have experience writing traditional media. So we try to hook people in with the most important stuff right up front, right away. Here's a headline that grabs your attention. Here's 1 or 2 sentences that explains what this article is about. So assuming people stop reading after that, they've gotten the crux of what's been what we're trying to communicate.
So that inverse pyramid, can you expand on that a little bit, just so for those of us that aren't familiar with the term?
Yep, yep. If everybody thinks back to the one or two journalism classes they took in college, if you think of a pyramid, the traditional pyramids in Egypt, the base of the pyramid is the strongest part, which essentially makes it the most important part. When we're writing, we typically live by the inverse pyramid, meaning the most important information has to be presented right up front. That information can be summed up with who we are, what we do, why you should do business with us, and why you should care. All these things are important to potential consumers, and we'll go through and present that information so that people actually don't have to read the data.
Okay, so you're kind of optimizing for the first paragraph, and then, you know, if they want to dig in more, it's there, but it's really all about that initial read.
Yes, yes. Cool. So the rest of the information has to be there because, you know, the bot's crawling and are going to read every single character that's included in the piece of content. But for the end consumer, for the human consumer, we have to sort of present it in a more digestible format.
Are there ideal lengths for this content?
As of right now, Google recognizes a blog article at 250 words. So they don't have to be massive. 250 words, when you think about it, is really close to three paragraphs. Anything more than that, you're kind of doing work you don't have to do. But you know, the best way into it, and I know you guys mentioned it earlier in this discussion, but the best way is really just sit down and do a video of yourself. I wouldn't think about character count at this point. There's the recommendations change on a regular basis. But right now, if somebody sits down and can talk about a specific topic and how it pertains to them and their business and their consumers for 60 seconds on video, which goes by pretty quick, that'll be plenty of content to be able to create and write a very well received piece of online content.
Are there any resources that you guys typically use to kind of keep up with where the recommendations that are changing, the best practices? What are the resources that you guys use in the kind of content marketing SEO world?
So there's really four main content resources that we use. And I would encourage anybody who's listening to this to consume all four of them, because there's often dissenting information. Oftentimes they contradict one another. So you kind of have to filter through. There's a great blog out there called ClickZ, ClickZ, which gives a lot of information. The other one that we like to follow is Search Engine Land. And then HubSpot is very informative for the information, for online marketing information. And then kind of the fourth one we actually use, there's a tool set out there that's been around a long time for search marketing companies called Raven's Tools, which gives a lot of data on best practices in the industry. So if people should happen to read all four of those or consume all four of those, just sign up for their blogs and start reading and start getting everything you need. But anybody's also welcome to give us a call or visit us online and sort of follow our own stuff about what we've got going on.
Related to what you were saying about syndication, something that you see people doing these days is they'll write a post on maybe their site first, and then they'll republish it on Medium or on Quora or another site. Does that trigger the duplicate content issues with the search engines, or is that a good thing to do?
That's a fantastic question. Here's the way that we combat duplicate content online with that stuff, is not to repost your own posts, but rather share them as a link and comment on them. So did you see this great article about aluminum cans written by this company? Check it out here. Throw the link in. That way the link gets syndicated, the link gets shared out, more people will consume it, but the actual duplicate content issue is avoided.
Okay, interesting.
And do you ever repurpose content, like rewrite it, or if there's a hot topic that you guys are trying to get into, do you ever take a base piece of content and change it, or is that not even really on the radar?
And I'll give you an interesting case study where we do occasionally do that. In our world, we actually deal, ironically enough, my wife is a dentist, so this is probably why, but we have several dental clients. And they're in non-competing markets, so we actually go through, and we might have a dentist in Seattle, a dentist in Michigan, a dentist in Texas, and a dentist in Florida, and a dentist in Las Vegas, and they all have stuff to say about which Halloween candy you should and shouldn't eat. So we might take that same article and write it in half a dozen different ways, saying that it's okay to eat chocolate if long as you brush your teeth within an hour of eating it, but it's not okay to eat hard candy because you're liable to crack your tooth. So that type of information needs to go out. Around the holiday season, we'll talk about, you know, alcohol consumption. So, you know, as we have companies who are selling and distributing liquor, there's things that are pulled in from a content perspective that are really sort of timely and relevant. We might want to use it in multiple locations, but every single piece of content that goes out is an original piece of content.
Okay. Okay. So like the main ideas can be reused, but you actually rewrite the base piece.
Yes. Yes.
Very cool.
So, yeah, I mean, we want fresh, original content. Google weighs informational content a little bit better than transactional content. So anything that we can do that's strictly informational, people are already coming to the site. But one thing to remember, and I tell this to a lot of our clients, customers are not going to come to your site to read your blog. They just don't care that much about you. What the purpose of the blog article, the purpose of the syndicated content is to create opportunities for people to become aware of your brand and then come back and visit your site. So if you think of it like a fishing line, we're casting out as many fishing lines with really, really good bait on them to reel them back into the site is really the purpose of an online piece of content.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how do we keep up with you and post-launch online?
Absolutely. Well, the web address is postlaunch, postlaunch.co. Visit us online. You can subscribe to our blog online if you like, or follow us on Twitter. Postlaunchco is our handle. Also, Facebook is facebook.com/postlaunchco. And keep up. We're extremely active. We've got a lot of things doing. I'm more than happy to answer any questions. We've got a full team here in Las Vegas, 15 people in our office that are search marketing, web presence marketing experts. So if anybody has any questions, they just want to call and ask about stuff. Our phone number is 702-800-2131.
Cool. Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Rocket Ship Podcast. If you enjoyed it, we have tons of other awesome episodes on our website. Check them out, rocketship.fm.
And make sure to check out our app discount section, where we feature discounts from amazing companies like Treehouse, Wistia, Woo Themes, all giving you exclusive discounts for being a Rocket Ship listener. So go to rocketship.fm/essentials.